Hey there, it's Emma Cooksey and I'm your host. So we've reached 100 episodes of this podcast, which I can hardly believe. It's been 3 years since I started recording these podcasts, and I had no idea if anybody would listen. And it turns out there's a bunch of you out there who are in the same situation and who have sleep apnea, and you're trying to navigate all the different treatment options. So I'm so grateful to all of the people who have been interviewed on the podcast, and I'm especially grateful to all of you who listen. I really appreciate all of you. So today for the 100th episode, as some of you know, I'm on a trip right now to Scotland, but I wanted to make sure that this episode was ready to go. And so I was a guest recently on the Sleep Tech Talk podcast, which was really fun. And so we came across the idea that I could use my interview on their podcast as my 100th episode. So it's going to be a little bit different. There's an awful lot more of me talking than usual, but I hope you guys enjoy it. So here is my conversation on the Sleep Tech Talk podcast.
All right, folks, a quick message before we get started from our sponsors, React Health. React Health, formerly 3B Medical, a leading provider of sleep diagnostic, and respiratory products. Now back to the show.
All right, gents. It's another episode, and that means it's time for pre-cals. What do we have today?
Jerry, we have Emma Cooksey joining us. Emma's we all met her at Philadelphia Sleep. She is a ton of passion and energy for
Yeah.
sleep in general, sleep patients, and what we learned about her there, I'm looking forward to hearing about today, because her background is just really someone who fell in love with the need to get out there and meet people, and I think it'll be fun to hear about that today.
Excellent.
I'm intimidated. Anytime we have another podcast host on our show, it's a little intimidating that we got to bring our A game today, because she is so energetic, and I know listening to her podcast, I knew of her, but I had not really listened to her podcast until we met her in Philadelphia. And since then, I have regularly tried to listen to her show. I'm trying to catch up. She's got a bunch of episodes to go through, and she is a great communicator, and the way she connects with people is pretty special.
I agree with that, and you guys probably know this already because I drink scotch. I have that affection towards her as well because she's from Scotland, so all the more reason for me to listen to what she has to say. So I'm excited about this.
Is that a stretch, Emerson, that he just
I don't
somehow
even know what to
scotch
say. I'm
into
like, I'm speechless. I'm trying to think of some quip, but I got nothing. He's going to show up in a kilt for the next time.
Hey, I've got a kilt, so just to let
I
you
was
know.
afraid you were going to say
Yeah.
All right, I think we're bringing our A game.
Let's
Let's
do
get started. All right.
it.
All right, on to the show.
Lights out.
Welcome, everyone, once again to another episode of Sleep Tech Talk, the sleep podcast with your hosts and friends, Emerson Kerr, Robert Miller, and me, Dr. Gerald George Moneycarot, with another fabulous guest for you today. But before we talk about who the guest is, I just want to remind everybody, don't forget to hit the like button. Don't forget to subscribe. And most importantly, don't forget to share this with all your friends, all the sleep techs out there. It's because of you we've been growing, and we can't appreciate you guys enough for that. But with that being said, Emerson, what's going on today?
Jerry, thanks. We have a fantastic guest with us today, Emma Cooksey. We had the great fortune of all three of us getting to spend a little time with Emma in Philadelphia at Michael's Philadelphia Sleep Meeting just a short time ago. And a little bit about Emma. She is a part of Project Sleep, where she is a board member. And she hosts a really entertaining and informative podcast, Sleep Apnea Stories. And we are just so fortunate to have you with us today, Emma. You know, one of the things that the three of us talk about all the time with all of our guests and even for ourselves is how we got into sleep medicine and just the sleep industry. For the three of us, we kind of fell into it backwards. We were not planning on this being our life, and we've fallen in love with it. And from what we know about you so far, you have a sincere love for sleep. But how did you get here? Could you share with our listeners your story and how you got involved in sleep?
I'd love to. Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it. So I always have to start off by saying that I'm from Scotland originally, because if I don't say that, people spend the whole time that I'm talking just being like, is she Canadian? Maybe a bit of Irish. So I was born and raised in Scotland. I started having some symptoms of obstructive sleep apnea while I was in Scotland, but I knew nothing about it and had no understanding of sleep disorders or what healthy sleep looked like even. So I kind of just struggled with things like daytime sleepiness, morning headaches. I just never had that feeling of being refreshed and waking up in the morning ready to go. I mean, to be fair, a lot of the time, especially through my student days, like, you're staying up late, there's some drinking. So I think that a lot of the people around me seemed very tired and it seemed very normal. So I kind of went on like that all through my 20s. I went to a lot of doctors and said, I'm exhausted, I'm overwhelmed, I'm anxious, I'm, you know, really tired. And it seemed like every stage of my life, there was a reason that the doctor could point to say, I don't think it's a problem with your sleep. I think that you're stressed, or you're not sleeping enough, or, you know, like, it was I feel like every time in my life, it was either I was pregnant or I had a new baby, all these things. So I kind of just knew that there was something not right. And especially like towards the end of my 20s, I started realizing like might be something wrong with my sleep, but I didn't have the language to really explain that to a doctor. So I met my husband in Scotland and we got married, and then he's from Florida. So we moved to Florida 15 years ago. And shortly after, I had our first child. And even though I've been to a doctor really recently and said, I'm really tired, and they said, you have a new baby, that's why you're tired, I find myself falling asleep at the wheel with my baby in the car. And I'd felt sleepy driving multiple times before, but I'd never had my baby in the back seat. And that day that I fell asleep, full on fell asleep, I almost hit a truck. And that was really like the impetus to ask more questions and be more persistent with the healthcare providers I've seen. So that prompted me to go back and say, I know you just said I'm tired because I have a new baby, but this doesn't seem normal, and I fell asleep at the wheel. And that was enough to get a polysomnogram and get my diagnosis with obstructive sleep apnea. So that was in 2008, and I immediately was put on CPAP. I did okay with CPAP. It made me feel better during the day because it felt like I was getting oxygen to my brain. I didn't have morning headaches anymore. That really intense sleepiness when I was driving went away, and I was, so, you know, I was really thankful that, you know, to be on that treatment. But at the same time, I felt very alone and isolated. I didn't know any other young mums that had this thing, sleep apnea. I didn't really know anyone. Like, every so often someone would say, oh, my uncle Barry has that and he has a CPAP. But I don't really feel like I could kind of relate to Uncle Barry. Like, I didn't have that much in common with him. So for a long time, I always had this feeling of there must be some community out there you know, and like I find things online, but I never really had that sense of connection. So I always thought to myself in the back of my mind, I should like start a blog or do something just to share my experience and meet some other people in the same situation. And so I listened to a lot of podcasts. And so I think it was always in the back of my mind, like having a podcast would be cool. And then I started kind of looking for podcasts that were what I was wanting to listen to, like other people with sleep apnea sharing their stories. And I couldn't find that. And so in the summer of 2020, I had my kids home because of the pandemic. And I was looking for any sort of project where I could shut the door and, you know, have my own project and be like, I can't talk to you for an hour. So that was what, that was how Sleep Apnea Stories, my podcast, was born. I just had a lot of questions about, you know, different treatment options. Like I kind of read a little bit about oral appliance therapy and Inspire and all these different things that I didn't really know much about. So when I started out, I just thought, well, maybe people out there are interested to know, you know, hear stories from people who are using those kind of alternative treatments to CPAP. So that's kind of how I started out with the podcast. And then it just like snowballed. So I just started doing like a weekly podcast, and I interviewed a lot of different people about their own personal journeys with sleep apnea. And I also was able to interview some experts from different areas and have them talk about, like, you know, their own particular part of the puzzle. And then in January 2021, I joined the board of directors at Project Sleep, who are doing some real, it's a nonprofit who are doing some really great work around raising awareness of sleep disorders. And so since I've been involved with them, we've been, you know, really pushing for more research funding for sleep disorders in Washington, D.C., and doing a lot to try and raise awareness in the general public about sleep disorders. So that's kind of a little bit. Does that explain it a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely. That's fantastic. But, you know, one of the parts of your story that stands out to me is something I hear a lot is, you know, when you think about sleep apnea, it was really guys like me that were the test subjects that it was based on, older white men. And so that leaves out younger white men, men of color, women. I mean, a lot of other phenotypes. And so when you, you know, you began this journey, and I mean, how many more women did you run into that had that same story? Okay, you're a mom, you're a wife, you're supposed to be tired. And even themselves, it wasn't, it's not even just that they're told that, they just simply believe, yeah, I'm a chauffeur, I'm a housekeeper, I'm a cook, I'm everything. How do you, how did you begin to piece those together and then connect with women like yourself?
Honestly, that's most people that I've, or most women that I've met through this process. Like most people are going more than 10 years to diagnosis because they are told by medical professionals, you don't fit the criteria that we generally look for. And I think it is a lot what you said about how, you know, when the research started, it was very much looking at this phenomenon in older men who were in the sort of overweight, like that kind of category. And there's so many of us who don't really fit that. And especially people who you know, have compromised airways because of, you know, the way that our jaws didn't develop properly. And so I think that that's a whole nother, like I feel like halfway through my first year on the podcast, I fell down that rabbit hole where there were people talking about double jaw surgery and myofunctional therapy and ways to kind of fix these structural problems, which I think up till now we haven't really heard about in relation to sleep apnea as much.
And a question for you, as part of your story, you talked about that you did okay with CPAP to start with. How, I mean, you've been, you know, treated, I assume, for a long time now. How is CPAP these days for you?
So I'm just, I feel like in some ways I'm the poster child for everything that could possibly be going wrong. So my nose doesn't work. So I'm still kind of at that. I probably should have like a turbinate reduction and a septoplasty and all these things. I have a tiny nose. So as we know, having nasal obstruction is not the best thing for successful CPAP use. So I've used CPAP every night for 15 years. And I would say like nasal mask and nasal pillow mask just don't work for me because my nose doesn't work. So should I fix my nose? Probably. But for now, well, I just don't really fancy that, but I feel like that probably will be in my future at some point, because for me, being able to use a nasal pillows mask or a nasal mask, I mean, you're supposed to use your nose when you're breathing, right? So I think it would be better, but that's kind of where I'm at. So
listen, I just happened to work for a CPAP manufacturer back in the day. All three of us actually worked together at Emerson here. And I had a CPAP machine. I thought I would try it for a couple of days to see what my patients were going through. And after a few days, I was like, oh my God, I feel better.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, I guess I'm a CPAP user now.
One of the things about having the podcast is just realizing like, the range of experiences with CPAP, right? I wouldn't miss a night just because I had that harrowing experience of falling asleep at the wheel, and this therapy has stopped that level of daytime sleepiness, so I just won't be without it. But having said all that, like, I feel as though until I started my podcast and started just talking to a bunch of different people with different experiences, the only patients I ever heard were these people who just have a wonderful experience. Like and I've interviewed a ton of those people on the podcast where they get their CPAP and then the next day they're like, oh gosh, like, you know, the birds are singing, the colors are brighter, we're so thrilled, and which is great because that is the experience of a lot of people. But I think what we're sometimes missing is the rest of us, like either the people like me who are diligently using our CPAP, but maybe are not experiencing quite that level of, you know, delight in the morning and well-restedness. Plus the other people that we just kind of label non-compliant, and we don't really dig into like what exactly is going on with those people. So that's been really interesting to me, just to really ask the questions of people, you know, like to try and figure out like why aren't they using the therapy? So I feel like oftentimes, especially when I go to conferences, it's all like charts and graphs, like, you know, these number of people aren't using CPAP, and we're not maybe digging into the stories behind those numbers. So one particular one was a recent episode I did with a guy called Jody Martin, who is a Marine Corps veteran, one of my favorite episodes. I cried, he cried, everybody listening cried. I got the most number of emails about that episode. So he described his experience where he had really severe sleep apnea. He was desperate for help. He was really, you know, wanted this to work for him. And he just struggled so much in the beginning with aerophagia and swallowing a lot of air, which would then make him vomit in the middle of the night. And then his nasal pillows mask just didn't fit. And so at one point he was like bleeding from his nose. So he's kind of describing like the, you know, worst case scenario where all of this is happening, that, you know, you're like, he wants to be compliant, or, you know, like, but he just is having such a tough time. And the story ended really well with him getting help that he needed and changing some things. And now he's happily back in the bed with his wife and all of that. But I think that those are helpful stories just for, especially for sleep techs to maybe know about, you know, the things that people struggle with.
I love that. I was going to ask, how do you get your guest? Or how are you able to come up with the guest who, you know, for us, it's a little bit different because we just find people who are in the industry. I mean, today I feel like you're not a guest today. You're a co-host of the Sleep Tech Talk program. So we just added another.
Oh my gosh, don't say that. You'll never get rid of me.
But, you know, for us, it's getting people who are involved in the industry from a clinical or a sales or a manufacturer perspective. But, you know, these are the patients who are at the far end of all of the things that we've been a part of talking about so far. So how are you able to get your guest? And I'm going to have to listen to that episode, but I am a crier too, so I'll probably cry.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I cry so much and people cry so much. I was going to say it's my favorite thing, but I just feel like, you know, connecting with people and then feeling comfortable enough to cry just makes me feel like I'm doing a good job. So where do I find my guests? Well, this is kind of an interesting one that I was thinking about recently because I just had the first guest I interviewed back on for an update. So the first guest I interviewed was Karen Wolk, and I connected with her because I wanted to interview someone that had the Inspire implant, the hypoglossal nerve stimulator. And so I literally was like Inspire implant person. And she was doing a bunch of interviews because she was an ambassador for them. Like they have volunteers who share their story with other patients thinking of getting the therapy. So I connected with her just literally off of the internet. But I feel like I started my Instagram account, Sleep Apnea Stories, right at the same time as the podcast. And I think that over time, so many people were kind of reaching out and I would just ask, does anybody want to come on and tell their story? So just also now it's like people just find me somehow. I do. You know, especially if I'll ask the people that are listening, you know, like these are the particular topics people are asking about. So if you are somebody who's dealing with this, like, please get in touch with me. And I basically can't keep up at this point. Like the first 6 months, I was kind of like, I don't know, like, I just kind of kept asking, you know, like it was kind of crazy, like how things came up. Like I would go to conferences and I was on like a bunch of Facebook groups with other patients. And does that help answer that?
Yeah, no, it's perfect. And by the way, we might have to have you join our merry band. We've become a three-party speaker group, I think, these days. We're going to be speaking at the Smoky Mountain Sleep Conference sometime in October, the three of us. So
I want to come.
You got it. And I might have a spot on the Carolina Sleep Society agenda, which is in Myrtle Beach in October. So
that's not, you know, even that far from my house.
Oh, really?
Well, I mean, it is, but like, you know, in terms of like the whole of the United States, I just had someone talking to me about doing something in San Francisco and I'm like, I'm in Northeast Florida. So, you know, Myrtle Beach is not that far.
Yeah, no, that's fantastic.
So yeah, sign me up. I love to anything where, you know, I can kind of amplify patient voices and speak. That's my favorite thing. I got involved, like, so one of the things that Project Sleep do is a program called Rising Voices. So it started out life as Rising Voices of Narcolepsy, and the idea is to empower patients to tell their stories. And so one of the first things I did when I joined the board was help them adapt that program to other sleep disorders. So I helped them kind of adjust the program materials for sleep apnea. I was the first person to do the program with sleep apnea. And it's like 6 weeks and you know, hone your story and work on like how to give engaging talks. And I think the whole program is great because it's kind of geared around the fact that people get really drawn into stories and storytelling. And rather than, I think, you know, if you're just giving people information, they kind of can't make it relate to themselves, you know? So.
And before Jerry cuts us off and I see him hitting the unmute button there. You know, back in the day, DME companies across the country used to have what are called awake meetings, which were support groups for patients on CPAP. It's almost like your show is the national awake meeting. It's almost like the it could be the national support group for patients who are on CPAP and are able to listen and hear the things that other people are dealing with. I'm a great CPAP wearer, but I still struggle at times with different issues. You know, if the mask gets situated one way and you know, I may wake up with my nose sore or something, you know, of that nature. I mean, so even people who are great and adherent CPAP users still have their own challenges.
I mean, you know, don't even talk to me about the week when we have in Florida, we have this like yellow pollen that comes off of these certain trees. And that week is just horrendous. And so it's been 15 years. And if I had a solution to that, I would, you know, I'm taking all the drugs and doing all the things, but it's just awful. So I think sometimes it helps, like, just to know, like, especially, I'm sure they cover this in the awake groups, but like, just to know that other people take a while to get used to this therapy and not expecting to have like this miraculous great night's sleep the first night, and just that it takes some time, you know, I think can be really helpful in itself.
Well, Emma, I'd love to continue the conversation, but we are out of time. And as Robert said, Jerry was itching to hit the unmute button, but I'd love to really, really continue. It's been fascinating to see a different side of what we do here. And yeah, you can definitely call yourself the fourth member of our merry crew here. So
yay. I love that.
Where can people find you and your podcast, Emma?
Yeah, so the best place probably is my website, which is sleepapneastories.com. And that has all the podcast episodes. There's almost 100. I'm coming up on my 100th episode. So you can scroll all the different episodes there. You can also find the podcast on all the different platforms. So Apple Podcasts, just search Sleep Apnea Stories, Spotify, all the different ones. And then if people are on Instagram, you can follow me at Sleep Apnea Stories is the handle.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Emma. I appreciate you.
Thank you.
And we thank each and every one of you out there who are listening, who are watching. We thank you so much for joining us. And we can't do this without your support. We're growing and growing and growing, and it's all because of you. Don't forget to hit the like button. Don't forget to share. Most importantly, share. And don't forget to subscribe. And until next time and the next episode, we say lights on.
All right, folks, a quick message from our sponsors, React Health. React Health, formerly 3B Medical, a leading provider of sleep, sleep diagnostic, and respiratory products. Now back to the show.
All right, that's another show, another wrap. It's time for some post-cals. What'd you guys think?
Lemma is everything we thought, you know, the story, the background, what she's doing. It just, it's amazing. She's almost like a lot of our entrepreneurs that we've come across. She saw a need in the market, saw a need in herself, stepped up, took what she had, and has really created something special for the sleep community.
I agree. And I love the way, Robert, you alluded it to the Awake group. I had started one here in Houston, Texas, and it really resonated when you said that she's able to bring all these people together to talk about the actual issues, those sleep apnea stories, you know, to take the namesake of her podcast, but to discuss what they're going through, each and every night, and to be able to say, hey, I'm also going through this. It's okay. This is normal. You don't have to fight through it. Let's all work together. I thought that was really amazing to see that somebody like her was able to put together something like that.
You know, I think that her ability to be transparent about her own issues and challenges and struggles and allowing herself to be vulnerable to an audience is pretty incredible. I mean, to think, I can't even imagine where we would have to go. I mean, we're kind of a bunch of knuckleheads, but to get to a place where we have a guest who's, you know, in tears and we're in tears because of the content of the show, you know, so maybe I don't know that we could completely get there, but, you know, it just shows how special she is and how what she's doing is so much needed.
Look, there's so much authenticity in her. And I think, you know, everyone's hungry for that in anything. And she brings that to our show. You can tell she brings it to her podcast. And even hearing her speak live, in, you know, in Philadelphia, she just can't help but bring that authenticity, that passion. And like you said, vulnerability. People are hungry for that. And when they hear it, they connect with it. And it just, it ignites things in people. That's just like some of our other guests we've had. It builds something inside them for change. And that's exciting to hear.
You know, she talked about, and you know, some of the Inspire patients becoming ambassadors. If I was a CPAP manufacturer, I would have Emma Cooksey as my ambassador for sleep. So putting it out there in the universe for you know, one of the manufacturers to scoop Emma up and use her platform to you know, help patients who are using CPAP.
Well, I think that's a great place to stop, and it was fun to have her on the show. I would love to see her come back again and join us. It would be fun, I think.
Absolutely. Yep. Anytime.
All right. Well, with that, let's close. Folks out there, thank you so much once again for joining us. And until next time, we say cheers.